Hey, welcome back here to the Semi-Seminary, and I'm your old brother, your old buddy, Pastor Jim. Now, no, I'm not just a famous podcaster. I'm also the pastor of a small-town church, kind with hymnals still in the pews and potlucks that taste like forgiveness. And you, my friend, stumbled into our Wednesday night Bible study series where we're walking through the parables of Jesus, not as puzzles to be solved, but as invitations to be lived. Tonight, pulling up a chair at one of his most uncomfortable tables, the parable of the guests, when grace makes the guest list. Because when Jesus starts talking about where to sit, he's not giving etiquette lessons. He's revealing the posture of heaven, the way grace rearranges the seating chart of the whole world. So grab your Bible, pour a little coffee, and settle in. Let's sit low enough that maybe, just maybe, we hear him whisper, "Friend, move up higher." If this journey blesses you, share it. If it convicts you, like it. And if you're still listening when the lamps burn low, subscribe so you don't miss the next word of grace that might just pull up a chair right beside you. I'll see you on the other side. So I am going to go ahead and begin. And again, we're talking parables. And usually parables start, Jesus' story will start with him asking the crowd to imagine a scenario. Now, in this passage, the parable is actually being told in the midst of the parable playing out around them. This parable is being told to people the parable is describing. In the moment. It's fantastic. I hope you guys will enjoy this one. This one is a banger. But for us to really get to go where we're going, let's set the scene, okay? Let's kind of imagine what it's going to look like and sound like in our heads. The house smells like wealth. Oil lamps glow against the plastered walls. Laughter ripples like polished silver. You could taste that roasted lamb before you see it, the fat hissing as it drips, the tang of vinegar rising from those clay bowls. Cushions ring the table, soft and embroidered, status you can sit on. Servants slip through shadows, refilling cups, never speaking. You didn't plan to be here. Maybe you followed a friend. Maybe curiosity pulled you in off the street. Either way, sandals are still dusty from the road, and you feel it. You do not belong here. The air is thick with pride disguised as politeness. Every guest leans forward, elbows on cushions, quietly jockeying for position. You notice the tension under the laughter as well, that quiet game of hierarchy, every smile measured, every greeting a little too loud. And Jesus is here too. He's not at the head of the table. He, in fact, rarely is. But his presence pulls at the edges of the room. He's watching, not like a judge, but like a storyteller about to begin. And he notices the choreography, the coughs, the half smiles, the subtle slide towards honor, his eyes move, not to shame, but to see. And when the moment ripens like fruit ready to fall, he speaks. And a hush falls so completely that even the oil lamps seem to lean in. The air changes, suddenly heavier, holy, like everyone knows something sacred is about to break open. Before the word is spoken, friends, let your heart settle. The dust of the day still clings to your skin. Let it fall. The noise of the street still echoes in your mind. Let it fade. Tune your ears, steady your breath, and listen. Not for thunder, but for the small voice that still can shake mountains. The table is set. The lamps are burning. The host is about to speak. This is not just an old story, friends. It is an open invitation. So breathe deep. The same spirit that hovered over waters now hovers over this very room. waiting to move when you decide to listen. Gospel account according to the physician Luke, chapter 14, 8 and following. When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down at a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both, they will both come and say to you, give your place to this person. And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when the host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all of those who sit at the table with you. For everyone exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will, in fact, be exalted. Thus, friends, Eden ends the reading, but not the invitation. Words have gone out like seed on the wind, falling where hearts are soft enough to catch them. The room holds its breath somewhere between silence and understanding. Grace takes a seat. For those with ears, let them hear. The feast has already begun. And maybe that's the quiet miracle. A scripture once spoken doesn't stop speaking. It echoes through time. Looking for a room just like this one. Hearts just like ours. This, like I had mentioned, isn't a parable that you actually listen to from a distance. It happens right around you. You're sitting there, adjusting your seat, pretending not to notice how everyone else is inching closer to the honored spots. You reach for your cup just as Jesus' eyes lift, and suddenly you feel seen. Really seen. Luke says he noticed how you and the others chose the best seats. That word noticed feels heavy now, like the slow, careful gaze of a physician who knows exactly what's wrong with you before you even say a word. Every cough, every shuffle of your robe, every quiet move towards honor becomes a symptom. Starts talking and you realize he's telling a story about this very table. The words slide out like parables always do, gentle at first, then cutting through the air like a blade of mercy. You hear yourself in the story. You see your own hands on the cushion. It's holy mischief, truth, wrapped in casual conversation. He isn't lecturing you. He's holding up a mirror. And somehow, that mirror feels like grace. Humiliation is when you're exposed and then left alone. Conviction is when you're exposed and you're invited to change. And you feel the invitation before you fully understand the story. He's catching us mid-motion before pride turns to shame. It isn't cruelty, it's care. It's the kind of grace that stings first and heals later, like antiseptic poured on an open wound. You wince, but you know it's working. You realize he's not just protecting you from public embarrassment. He's trying to actually free you. Pride builds a cage and calls it a throne. And every time you climb higher, the walls close in. And his words pry those hinges loose. You feel like maybe you can almost breathe again. And the room stills. You listen the way a child listens to thunder on a safe porch, half afraid, half in awe. You glance at the rich man beside you whose hands won't stop fidgeting. The teacher pretending not to listen. The servant by the door who whispers a prayer that Maybe this table will make a space for him too. Then you feel it. The realization that Jesus isn't just talking to them, he's talking to you. Pride isn't out there. It's in here. Fight for the head of the table happens inside your chest. The only way to win is to stop fighting. You lower your eyes. The oil lamps, they flicker. Somewhere behind the silence, you hear his voice again, steady, kind, and near. Friend, pick the lower place. The story lingers in the air. No one wants to be the first to move. One man clears his throat, trying to sound casual, but his eyes betray him. Another shifts, his seat creaking like a confession. The laughter from earlier has now died, replaced by a silence heavy enough to feel. And Jesus doesn't have to point his finger at us. Truth is already doing its work. Pride has a way of blushing when it's caught in the light. The men who came to be honored now find themselves weighted by their own hunger for attention. They realize how much of their religion has become performance. The long prayers, the polished manners, the elbowing for approval, all dressed up as devotion. And yet Jesus doesn't mock them. Doesn't roll his eyes at them or humiliate them in front of their friends. Instead, he does what shame often is able and meant to do, lead us back to humility. Because the only thing worse than being humble is staying proud. In that lamplight quiet, the word becomes a mirror. Each person sees what he didn't want to see, and for just a moment, he's free to do something about it. Grace has a strange way of uncovering you so it can clothe you again. What feels like exposure is often mercy in disguise. Sometimes the Spirit doesn't whisper comfort. Sometimes the Spirit whispers, look. The silence deepens, and in it, Jesus' words begin to stretch beyond the walls of that room. You can almost see it, the table fading away, the Pharisee's house dissolving into something older, holier. Suddenly, the scene shimmers into Isaiah's mouth. Smell of lamb and vinegar gives way to the scent of rich wine and roasted grain, a feast for all people spread before the eyes of the poor, the forgotten, the ones who never thought they'd be invited. Isaiah 25:6, on this mountain, Isaiah had said, Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, best of meats, the finest of wines. Jesus doesn't quote it because he doesn't have to. Every scholar, every person at that table, perhaps save the servants and maybe them too, would have known those words by heart. They could taste them. They just never thought they'd be the ones needing the mercy to enter the feast. And then, as quickly as that mountain appeared, it becomes another vision, this time from the future. The oil lamps dim and the light becomes wedding white. Great table stretches beyond sight, and a voice from somewhere beyond the stars calls out. Prophecy of the Revelation 19:9. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Same table, same host. Only the guest list has changed. The first have made way for the last, and the last have come running home. Between the mountain and the marriage sits this simple meal in Galilee, where God whispers eternity over dinner. And here's the secret it slips by every generation. Not just a table from the past or a table yet to come. It's this table too. Every communion, every potluck, every meal shared with humility becomes a rehearsal for the wedding feast. When we bow our heads, when we share bread without pretense, heaven draws near. When the vision fades, room's quiet again. Jesus looks around, not in triumph, but in invitation. Kingdom isn't far away after death. It's here. Breaking in through humility and hospitality. Heaven begins whenever someone makes room for another soul. Jesus doesn't stand to preach his parable. He stays seated near the middle where anyone can reach him. He leans forward just enough that everyone can hear, and his voice softens like bread breaking. We've all been chasing the head of the table, he seems to say. But I've been sitting here right among you. His words ripple through the room. The crowd feels smaller, but in a good way. Like they're finally standing where the ground is level. The poor feel seen. Even the servants start to breathe a little easier. A man near the door, the one who never took off his cloak, suddenly stands. He doesn't make a speech. He just moves towards the lowest seat at the table. The room watches him, startled. And then, one by one, they begin to follow suit. No one commands them. The Spirit does the seating now. You can almost hear Isaiah's echo in the shuffle of feet. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and lifted up the humble. Humility spreads like fire sparking in dry straw. Meal isn't over. Something holy has begun. The host is rearranging hearts, and somewhere in the middle of that humble movement, joy appears. Quiet, contagious, undeniable. Maybe that's why Jesus smiled when he said, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted." It wasn't a threat. It was a promise. He is describing how gravity works in the kingdom. The higher you climb, the farther you fall. But when you kneel, you find yourself lifted by unseen hands. The lamps burn lower now. The food's gone cold. Guests sit quieter, softer, changed. Jesus rises, not with fanfare, but with the gentleness of someone who's already said everything that needs to be said. He looks around the table one last time. No one dares meet his eyes for too long, but no one dares to look away either. The silence feels different now. Less like guilt, more like grace finding its way in. He steps towards the door, and before he leaves, he turns just enough for his voice to reach them. And stay at this table if you are willing to move lower. That's the gospel in one motion. God stooping so the rest of us could rise. The host of heaven took the lowest seat so that the whole world could hear the same invitation. Friend, move up higher. And when the door closes behind him, the guests sit in the flicker of fading light, not sure whether to cry or to sing. Outside, the night air is cool and quiet. Stars scattered like promises. Inside, the bread still smells like hope. The echo of that room still hums through time. Every act of humility still sounds like a hymn. Every table where someone makes space for the forgotten becomes a foretaste of glory. Glory that is ours if we will just pick a seat. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys.
Maybe you've been fighting for a better seat at work, in church, even in your own heart. Maybe you've spent years trying to prove you belong at the table, but friend, in the kingdom of God, the only way up is down. The only ladder worth climbing is the one Jesus descended. Good news of the parable is that the host himself took the lowest seat, so there'd be room for you. He didn't come to impress the guests. He came to make us family. So if you've been living like an uninvited soul, hear this. Grace already wrote your name on the guest list. You don't have to earn it. You just have to show up and sit where mercy tells you to sit. The banquet's not in some far-off heaven. It's wherever humility and love make room for another soul. That's the feast we're tasting tonight. This word found you somewhere between pride and hunger, share it with someone who else is standing at the door. If it stirred something tender in you, go ahead and hit the like button. It tells the algorithm what your soul already knows. Grace is trending. And subscribe so you don't miss the next table where Jesus might just sit down right beside you. I'll see you then.